Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. Question for you today, what kinds of things can cause you to panic? Maybe waking up late when you have to catch an early morning flight? Or perhaps running late for an important appointment, because you got stuck in traffic, or maybe because you forgot altogether. I don't know about you, but being late for anything can make me panic. How about when something breaks? Okay, like the time my washing machine hose broke, just split wide open, and it started spraying water everywhere, and I couldn't get the shutoff valve to turn off because it was too tight, it had frozen. It was a hot mess. I had to call a neighbor to come and help, and by then, the flood. Or what about when your computer decides to shut down with no explanation, just a mind of its own, and you were right in the middle of a huge project that's now been lost because you hadn't hit save? Have you been there? Yep, I have. Or are you more likely to panic when you're at the checkout counter, ready to pay for your groceries, and your credit card, which you know has plenty of money on it, keeps getting denied, so you frantically try other cards? Hate that. Or how about when your gas tank is dangerously close to empty? I mean, it's been dinging for miles, and there are no exits in sight. Or when the check engine light comes on and you're miles from home, you get a sick feeling in my stomach when that check engine light comes on. Or maybe when your little one decides to swallow a nickel and you have to wait in the ER all night until the change comes out, if you know what I mean. That really did happen. It happened to my niece a few months ago. All is well now, thankfully, but it was a panic when her 3-year-old initially told her, "Mommy, I swallowed money." She got out a small metal detector. She's a doctor, so she actually did have one, to scan his tummy, and sure enough, he was right. He swallowed money. Or what about the panic you feel when you hear rumors of layoffs at work? Or the predictions of a storm heading your way? Have you ever been to the grocery store right before a hurricane or a snowstorm is about to hit? Now that is a picture of panic. Or maybe you've had feelings of panic recently when you hear the predictions of the economic challenges we might be facing this year, and you know how much your retirement account has already lost, and now you fear your retirement plans need to be completely put on hold. That one certainly has my attention right now. Yes, we all have times when we panic. Even though we are God-fearing believers, we're also still human. And even though we know who holds our future, we can forget He also holds our present. You know, Daniel knew the God who held his future and his present. So he didn't panic when he was faced with threats from an irrational king. Not just any old threats, by the way, threats on his very life. Well, we read in chapter 2 of Daniel that King Nebuchadnezzar was troubled by frequent nightmares that he rarely could even remember, but which troubled him when he awoke, and thinking that this one particular dream was an omen that he needed to know about, the king asked his wise men to tell him what his dream was and what it meant. Well, that's an impossible task. His wise men couldn't read his mind. Nevertheless, King Nebuchadnezzar threatened to have all the wise men in his kingdom put to death if one of them couldn't tell him about his dream. Well, the wise men and all of Babylon were in a panic over this. I mean, it was an insane request. It couldn't humanly be done. And that's where God and Daniel came in. Daniel knew he couldn't interpret the king's dream either, but he knew the one who could. We read about this in Daniel chapter 2. Starting in verse 17, we read, "Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from God, the God of heaven, concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." Well, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And then over on verse 26 continues, "The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, 'Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?' Daniel replied, 'No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these.'" Well, Daniel went on to explain the dream because of what God had spoken to him. You see, Daniel replaced panic with prayer. He remembered that no matter how bad things look here on earth, there is another view, heaven's view. Daniel and his three friends prayed to God for mercy that they would not be executed. The prayers gave Daniel such assurance and peace that he was able to sleep, and that is when God gave Daniel the vision of what King Nebuchadnezzar's dream was. The author of the book Heaven Rules by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth writes this about that passage. She writes this on page 78. "This is not just a personality trait, nor just a reflection of Daniel's natural disposition. Daniel exuded the quiet assurance of someone grounded in an understanding that heaven rules. It's the same quiet assurance that you and I too can experience within us and radiate around us whenever we're startled by the next piece of upsetting news arriving on our doorstep. Trouble, turmoil, false accusations, flood warnings. No, it's not good, but it's no time for panic. Heaven rules." Well, we can also be assured, as was Daniel, that no matter how corrupt our world is and continues to be, no matter how difficult it is to work under bosses or leaders with whom we disagree, God is still in control and he is on his throne. It's not just circumstantial troubles where God rules, but it's over difficult personalities, downright corrupt ones, where God is still on his throne. Again, Nancy DeMoss writes in her book, Heaven Rules, on page 89 about this. "Hallelujah, this day is coming. The king is coming. He's coming to judge the kingdoms of this earth and to establish his kingdom in this world, a kingdom that can never be destroyed. We have his promise. And if we're looking through eyes of faith, we can already see glimpses of that day. The most corrupt, the most incompetent rulers of this age are only cause for alarm if we view them merely from earth's perspective. Because from heaven's perspective, from eternity's vantage point, they're no cause for us to panic at all." And then she closes with this: "Our God is king. He rules over every flood and storm. So be still, my soul. There's no need to panic." Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible study time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.